"'Pulling open the door and extended his hand into the room behind him, welcoming me. "'Come in. Ladles of Love is happy to feed you this evening.' "'It took a minute to realize what I'd just walked into. "'A soup kitchen. "'The princess fucker wasn't buying crack. "'He was feeding the indigent. "'Fuck me! "'I was definitely going to need to up my game.' Chapter 20. It seemed Aubrey and Dick were quite the pair of philanthropists. Sitting in my truck on Jefferson a few days later, I opened the local newspaper and smack dab in the middle of the community section was Aubrey's beautiful smile, along with an article about a new animal shelter that had just opened up. Local attorneys Aubrey Bloom and Richard Klein of Sherman Klein and LaFave, LLP, attend the grand opening of the Park Street Animal Shelter. Klein and Bloom, a member of the Park Street Board of Directors, helped raise over $500,000 to support the shelter's new facility. At the end of the article, there was a phone number for the shelter. I immediately dialed it. A girl answered, "Park Street Animal Shelter." "Hi. I was wondering if you're looking for any volunteers."
"Actually, yes, sir. We are in dire need of dog walkers. Is that something you might be interested in?"
"Absolutely. I could come by this afternoon."
"We'll have you fill out some paperwork we need to process, so you may not be able to start until later in the week."
"That's fine. I can't wait to help." Take that, princess fucker. Stalker, landscaper, goat sitter. Add dog walker to the list of new occupations held by Chance Bateman during my stay in Temecula. The daily routine now consisted of having virtual Starbucks breakfast with Aubrey, hitting the gym, landscaping, aka pixie time, followed by late afternoon strolls with anywhere from 3 to 5 dogs at once. For someone without a real job, I was busier and in better shape than ever before in my life. One Friday afternoon, I was at a park walking a Great Dane, a German Shepherd mix, and a greyhound, when a text from Aubrey came in. "Aubrey, received your new contract today. They need you to sign it this afternoon so they can meet a production deadline." Trying to control all 3 barking dogs with one hand, I used my phone's voice-to-text feature to respond. "Chance, I'm dog walking at Slater Park. I can come there right after." "Aubrey, dog walking?" I knew that would pique her interest. As a matter of fact, I was banking on it. This was perfect timing to let her know about my newest venture. "Chance, I've been volunteering for your shelter. I saw the article. I know that place means a lot to you. Wanted to help."
"Aubrey, are you serious?"
"Chance, I'll come by the office around 5, after I walk them back." "Aubrey,
I have plans tonight, so I have to leave the office by then. Why don't I just stop by the park now and have you sign it really quick?"
"Chance, where should I meet you?"
"Aubrey, by the concession stand at the entrance around 4:15.
"Chance, see you then." Perfect. If I were being honest, the dogs were really walking me. I let them lead me to wherever they wanted to go. I'd pick up their turds with pink plastic bags provided by the shelter and dump the crap into the public trash. The things I'd do for you, Aubrey Bloom. When it was time to meet Aubrey, reining the dogs in became a necessity. "Hold your horses, guys. Let's go this way." The 2 bigger ones really were more like horses than dogs anyway. I stopped when I spotted her. She didn't see me at first. Aubrey was standing alone, with a manila folder tucked under her arm, eating an ice cream cone. My mouth watered as my eyes followed the movement of her tongue sliding along the ice cream. The sunlight caught the natural red highlights in her hair. A light breeze blew her skirt up teasingly. I missed those legs. Actually, I missed those legs wrapped around my back while I was buried deep inside of her. My dick twitched at the thought.
The dogs weren't happy about having to abruptly stop so that I could gaze at her. They retaliated by suddenly charging toward where she was standing, dragging me behind them. Aubrey erupted in laughter when she saw me struggling to contain the three barking beasts. "You've got your hands full," she smiled. All of this was worth it just to earn a genuine smile from her, which was rare lately. She had some ice cream on her bottom lip, and I yearned to suck it off. It seemed the dogs were just as enamored with Aubrey as I was. They started jumping all over her. The Dane snuck some of her ice cream cone. It was covered in slobber, so she let him have the rest. Aubrey seemed to be eating the attention up, though, letting the three of them practically trample her and lick her face. The shepherd looked like he was about to hump her leg. Dogs got away with murder. I'd never wanted to be one so badly in my life. Tightening my grip on the leashes, I said, "Guys, pipe down! Give poor Aubrey some space!"
"Interesting advice coming from you, Mr. Bastardo.
At least I haven't tried to lick you." I wiggled my eyebrows. "I've thought about it."
"You have you?"
"Yep, just now, actually. But I can restrain myself when I want to. That's a brownie point in my corner, eh?"
I winked. "Well, congratulations for not acting like an animal."
"It's not easy sometimes, because I know what I'm missing, seeing as though I've already sampled your kibbles and bits." Shaking her head, she said,
"You're crass.
You like it."
"No, I don't."
She rolled her eyes, but the expression on her face was one of amusement. There was my dirty girl. She opened the folder and grabbed a pen from her purse.
"We should have you sign your contract. I reviewed it carefully. It includes everything we requested, no surprises, but feel free to look it over before signing."
Scribbling my signature at the bottom as quickly as I could and handing her back the pen, I said, "No need. I trust you completely." Looking straight into her eyes, I added, "I doubt you can say the same about me, but I'm working on that." She seemed to shut down.
"You're right. I can't say the same."
She tucked the folder back under her arm.
"I better get going. I have to be somewhere."
"You have a date with the Dickster?"
"Stop calling him that. For the last time, his name is Richard."
My tone turned serious. "Come on, Princess. I'm just kidding about all of it. Your bits, dick, everything. You know my sense of humor. You used to like it."
"Really? I did? Funny, because I don't remember much that happened before waking up sore between my legs and finding you gone."
Fuck. It felt like she punched me in the gut. When will this ever get easier? I took a step toward her. "We need to talk more about what happened.
I really do have to go,"
Aubrey said, looking down at her watch and backing away. The dogs were getting antsy and pulling me in the direction of a couple of small Yorkshire terriers that were running around on the loose. I yelled at them, "Shit, slow down!" Some wingmen they were. By the time I turned around again, my girl was gone. After that fiasco, I went straight to the bar and unloaded the whole story onto Carla Babes. Pouring me a second drink, she shook her head.
"You wanna know what I think? She's just as bad as you."
"Clarify that statement."
"You're both playing games."
I swirled my drink around in the glass. "Well, if it's a game, the fun is starting to wear off."
"She's pretending she doesn't want you here, yet she's been caught stalking you herself. If she really wanted nothing to do with you, she would have never taken your case. She could have told her boyfriend the truth, and he would have kicked you to the curb so fast, client or not. She's hiding you from him, because she still has feelings for you and doesn't want him to know. Are you blind, Aussie?"
My heart beat faster, filling with renewed hope. I never thought of it that way.
"You need to put a stop to this cat-and-mouse game. Find out what her intentions are."
"You're a good guy, Chance. I know you hurt her pretty badly, but you're hurt, too. She needs to know that. Stop pretending you're okay with all of this."
"What do you suggest?"
cut the patient hero act. How many bushes can you possibly plant, Mr. Green Thumb? It's not helping anything. What you really need is to plant yourself in her bush. Stop wasting time and tell her what you want.
I cackled. Forget about Green Thumb. I think I have a numb green cock at this point.
The green giant, she quipped.
I chimed in, Shrek! We were both cracking up. When the laughter subsided, I looked up at her. My sounding board. Her friendship really did mean a lot to me. What would I do without you, Carla Babes? She seemed to blush at my comment. That was unlike her. Clearing her throat, she leaned her hands against the counter.
Look, in all seriousness, you need to go to her tonight. Tell her how you feel, without all of the bullshit. Make sure she knows you're not going to be around forever. Time is precious. There are plenty of other women who would love the opportunity to make you happy if she doesn't care to.
For a split second, the look in her eyes made me wonder if she was referring to herself. I took the remainder of that weekend off from stalking Aubrey. It was the first time an entire day had gone by where I hadn't at least gotten one glimpse of her, but I really needed time alone to think without the deterrent of her beautiful face and succulent ass. While the last talk with Carla had boosted my confidence, the more time I spent alone, the more doubt started to creep in. That Sunday, I spent a good chunk of the day at the laundromat. Watching my clothes spin round and round in the dryer helped me meditate and reflect on everything. As much as I'd always said that I'd stick around town as long as it took, I wasn't willing to do that if Aubrey had already written me off. If her intention was to stay with Dick come hell or high water, then I really needed to know. It was one thing to get her to forgive me. It was another to get her to forgive me and give me another chance. Leaving a guy that supposedly made her happy and was there for her when I wasn't. I decided that tomorrow night, after Aubrey got home from work, I'd try to get my answer once and for all. Chapter 21. I skipped the Monday morning breakfast routine on Jefferson and went straight to Aubrey's house instead. Today would be a longer day, putting the finishing touches on Pixie's pen and making sure that everything was in order in the event that things didn't turn out in my favor tonight. I stopped for two of the goat's favorite burritos, sans the corn, and brought lunch over to the window. Watching him gobble them in just a few bites, I scratched his head. Listen, I have to tell you something important. He was too busy licking the burrito wrapper to look up at me. I need you to know that if I go away, it's not because of you, all right? I want nothing more than to see you every day and for the three of us to be together. I just don't know any more if that's going to be possible. If it's not, I have to go away again, because it will make me too sad to stay. He looked at me with his droopy eyes. Even though he was supposedly blind, sometimes I swore he could see me. I promise if that happens, I'll never forget you, bugger. Okay? Pixie rested his chin in my hand, and I did something I never had before. Reaching down, I kissed his forehead. It wasn't the type of kiss I was hoping for in Temecula, but it was the next best thing. He was the official mascot of my time with Aubrey, always at the center of the good memories that we shared. I'd never forget him. I took a selfie of us. Now I could cross kiss a goat off my bucket list. The rest of the afternoon, I went in search of princess flowers. I didn't want to steal them off the bush I'd planted, so I needed to find a florist who carried them. I was finally able to snag a bouquet and took it back to my motel. I showered, put on dark jeans and a fitted black shirt, and splashed on some cologne. Needing to look and smell my best tonight was going to be important. I decided against calling Aubrey first.
I didn't want her to try to talk me out of coming over. So, showing up at her door tonight would be a gamble. It was a clear evening. The lights from inside her bungalow lit up the otherwise dark street. She was home. I was home. With my heart racing, I parked my truck around the corner and sat there for at least 20 minutes, rehearsing what I was going to say. Someone came out of the house I was parked in front of. The woman was wiggling her ass, with her tits hanging out as she approached my truck in a flimsy nightgown and slippers. When I saw the cast on her hand, I remembered it was Aubrey's slutty neighbor, Philomena. Now it seemed she had a cast on her leg as well. What the fuck? This chick was a hot mess.
"Hey, handsome. I saw your truck out here."
"Sorry, I didn't realize you lived here. I shouldn't have parked right in front of your house."
"Are you kidding? I got all excited. Thought maybe you had decided you wanted to mow me after all."
"No, I'm not in the neighborhood on business.
Maybe you'd like to just come in and fuck me then."
"Wow. Well, while that's a tempting offer, given your lovely casts and all, I'm not really available for that, but thanks."
"Why don't you come in for a drink, then? I promise I won't bite."
"No, actually, I'm heading over to Aubrey's." She placed her cast on her hip.
"You are aware Aubrey has a boyfriend, right?"
"I'm quite aware of that, yes."
"Well, if you change your mind, you know where to find me."
She arched her head to see an oncoming car.
"Actually, looks like he just turned the corner. This should be interesting."
"Who?"
"That was Aubrey's boyfriend's BMW that just passed by."
My stomach sank. Fuck. After Philomena finally left me alone and went back inside, I just sat for the longest time not knowing what to do. Grabbing the flowers, I eventually got out of the truck, planning to just leave them at her doorstep. As I approached, what I saw in clear view through the window nearly stopped my heart. Aubrey was sitting on the couch with Richard as she leaned her head on his shoulder. She looked content, at peace. It looked like they were watching a movie. As much as it hurt to see it, I couldn't look away. That vision was the essence of my dream. There was nothing more in the world that I wanted than to come home every night to her and do exactly that, just be with her. With each second that passed as I stood there, the seeds of doubt were growing. Suddenly, for the first time since arriving in Temecula, even with all the stalking, I truly felt like an outsider looking in. It really hit me. While jail had thrown me into a time warp, time had indeed passed. Aubrey had moved on. She'd moved on, you fucking fool, Chance. This was why you did what you did, remember? It was what you supposedly wanted for her. At least 20 minutes must have gone by after that realization, and I was still standing in the same spot on the very lawn I'd manicured to perfection. I knew why I was feeling sick. I was mourning her. Walking away from her the first time left her devastated. My walking away the second time now would devastate me. This time, I didn't seem to know how to leave. I couldn't not say goodbye. For now, I'd leave the flowers at the door, maybe send her a message, or call her tomorrow to let her know about my plans to return home to Hermosa Beach. Arriving at her doorstep, I knelt down to place the flowers over the welcome mat. A thump startled me. Pixie must have smelled me or something. He appeared at the dining room window, which was just on the other side of the front door. He began to bar incessantly. "Shh," I warned. Just as I started to walk away, the exterior light flashed on, and the front door opened. I turned around. Aubrey was standing there.
"Chance?"
Lifting my hand slowly, I said, "Hi."
"What are you doing here?"
She looked down and spotted the flowers, bending to pick them up.
"You were leaving these at my doorstep?"
"That's right. I wasn't planning to come in." Dick appeared, Placing his hand possessively around Aubrey's tiny waist, my eyes landed on it, then moved up to meet Aubrey's frightened expression. "Mr. Bateman," Dick said, "how can we help you?" "We? Fuck you, princess fucker. I was just coming by with a little token of my appreciation for Aubrey's assistance with my legal matter. That was nice of you, but you should have stopped by the office instead of coming here, Dick. Actually, I'll be leaving early in the morning, so this was my only opportunity." Aubrey had been looking down at the flowers, her head immediately lifted, and her stare was now penetrating my own. "You're leaving town?" "That's right. My business here is done." I continued looking straight into her eyes, so she understood how serious this was. I wasn't going to leave without saying goodbye. She stood there speechless. Pixie was standing right by Aubrey's legs. Knowing what he was angling for, I bent down, closing my eyes, to let him lick my face for the last time. When I stood up, Dick, who seemed confused about my instant bond with the goat, looked back and forth between the animal and me. Tightening his grip on Aubrey, he said, "Well, we wish you the best." "Thank you." I started to walk away before turning around one last time. My voice was strained. "Take good care of her." I didn't care how inappropriate that last comment was. It needed to be said. Swallowing my pain, I walked across the grass without looking back at her. I couldn't. After I turned the corner, I got into my truck and sped off. I headed straight for my motel room. I'd wanted to go to the bar to say goodbye to Carla, but was scared of drinking myself into oblivion. Someday soon, I'd write her a letter or something to let her know how much her friendship meant to me. Aubrey hadn't called or texted. That only solidified the fact that my leaving was for the best. Tossing and turning, sleep wasn't happening for me. Unable to rid my body of the excruciating physical ache of knowing I would never touch her again, I conceded to my insomnia. I sat up at the edge of my bed, pulling my hair in frustration as I looked over at my packed suitcase while checking my phone for what seemed like the 100th time. Looking down at my hand, I took off the fake gold band from Vegas and threw it angrily in the trash can. While a part of me never expected her to call, a bigger part of me was shattered that she didn't. What bothered me the most was that I still couldn't envision my future without her in it. A knock at the door startled me. The motel was in a seedy area, so I made sure to check the peephole before opening. The view inside was a distorted version of a distraught Aubrey. My confused heart accelerated, despite having been emptied earlier of all hope. I opened the door, but said nothing as she walked past me and sat on the bed. I stayed standing across from her. The silence was deafening as we just looked at each other. Then she started to talk.
"I waited for 6 hours in the lobby that day."
When a teardrop fell down her cheek, I grabbed her a tissue and handed it to her before sitting down next to her. My body tensed in anticipation of what she'd say next.
"I was so sure that you were coming back. I kept hearing in my head what you'd told me the night you came home late from getting us dinner in Arizona. When I got scared, you said I would never do that to you. So I held out hope for a while. I felt like a fool, because even though all of your belongings were gone, I still believed you were coming back. I know it was only 8 days with you, but I felt closer to you than anyone. I saw a future with you."
My chest constricted. "Tell me what happened when you got to Temecula. I need to know everything, even if it hurts to hear it."
"I was very depressed for a long while. I threw myself into the new job. A couple of months after the move, I met a guy. He became a really good friend. His name was Jeremy. He was so sweet and good to me. We were friends for 6 months before he became my boyfriend.
He knew everything about what happened between you and me.
She laughed a little, looking over at me for the first time.
He hated you.
I smiled, even though that made me hurt on the inside. She continued.
I put up a wall, wouldn't let him in. I was still so wrapped up in you, even though you were gone, and you'd hurt me. You were still all I wanted, all I yearned for. Everywhere I went, everything reminded me of you. Jeremy knew it. He wanted more from me than I could give him. He wanted my heart. And even though you'd broken it, it still belonged to you.
How did you end up meeting Richard?
After things ended with Jeremy, I decided I really needed help. Between my career, my relationships, even my family dealings, I felt stuck. I started seeing a therapist. She helped me to make some changes and stop blaming myself for your leaving. She helped me move on somewhat from the trust and abandonment issues. I'm still working on them. She also made me see that I had to accept that you weren't coming back. By the time Richard entered my life 7 months ago, I was ready to let someone in again. He was hired as a partner at the firm. That's how we met.
As much as I rank on his name, he seems like a nice guy.
I've never told him about you. Yes, he is a wonderful person. He and I have a lot of common interests. He encourages me to follow my passion. He's the reason I started getting involved in the animal shelter.
That's a good thing.
He wasn't the first person to inspire me that way. That was the one thing you did for me, Chance. You taught me so much in a short amount of time about how to live life. Even though you broke my heart, I never regretted meeting you. I still wouldn't go back and change it. That was the thing that always seemed so fucked up to me. A lot of who I am now is because of you.
Do you love him? Without hesitation, she said,
yes.
Her answer felt like a gunshot to the chest at point-blank range. Swallowing, I said, okay.
I've been very confused. As much as I care about Richard, I'm not going to lie. Your showing up has turned my world upside down. I could have never guessed the real reason that you were gone. Everything I believed to be true isn't. I assumed you abandoned me for other reasons.
I thought I was doing you a favor.
Why didn't you want me to wait for you?
Sounding pained, she added,
I would have waited. Every single one of those days.
I caressed her hair. I couldn't help it. I never doubted that. But I thought you'd grow to resent me. I didn't know what being in jail would do to me, and didn't want you waiting for a man who I wasn't sure would be worth it. In reality, the experience made me a stronger person, but I had no way of knowing that back then. More than anything, you didn't deserve to have to put your life on hold just when you were trying for a fresh start.
Even though I now understand things more clearly, the way you left was still traumatizing. Even if things were different with Richard, I don't know that I could ever fully trust you not to leave again.
Hearing that made me uneasy. I stopped beating around the bush. Just answer me this. Am I really too late? My heart was pounding. She hesitated, and something in her eyes gave me a glimmer of hope. This moment felt like my last opportunity, and I wasn't too proud to beg. She was still sitting on the bed when I fell to my knees below her, resting my head on her stomach. Just tell me what to do, Aubrey, I repeated. Just tell me what I need to do to get you to give me another chance. I hadn't been touched by a woman in over 2 years, so when she raked her fingers through my hair, it seemed to feel better than anything I'd ever experienced in my life. My breath hitched. Her breathing was ragged. Each sound that escaped her went straight to my cock. Being so close like this made me desperate for a taste of her. I wasn't beyond taking advantage of her sexual attraction to me. If I had to play dirty, I would. Speaking slowly over her stomach, I said, "Let me make it up to you. I swear you'll forget all the pain. You won't even remember your own name."
No, she breathed. I lowered my mouth and spoke over the skin just below her belly button. Does he pleasure you? Does he give you what you really need? Her legs were quivering. Chant, stop! Her body's reaction was enough of an answer for me. I was back in the game. Princess, look over there. My suitcase is packed. I'm ready to leave in the morning. Do I have any reason to stay? You tell me. A look of torment washed over her pretty face.
I can't promise anything.
I didn't ask for a promise. I asked for a chance. I'd like to start by just being your friend again, the way we began. She got up and started to pace.
I'm still with Richard. I won't cheat on him.
I didn't ask you to. I walked toward her, slowly, trying not to seem like a lion on the prowl, despite my predatory feelings. So let me ask you again. Do you want me to stay? She looked up into my eyes and whispered,
Yes.
Then I'm here. She backed away.
I have to go. I told him I was going out to get ice cream and put gas in my car.
You'd better actually go get some then. Be careful, it's late. When will I see you again?
Richard has an early meeting. Meet me tomorrow for breakfast at Starbucks at 9.
Us? Together? At Starbucks?
Yes. Just don't order the same thing as me. It's creepy.
I grinned. When the door closed behind her, my previously subtle smile transformed into a huge, beaming one. I walked over to the trash can, dug up my ring, and placed it back on my finger. Slow and steady wins the race. Chapter 22. I stayed up half the night trying to come up with some grand scheme of making Aubrey trust me again. It had been 2 long years, and I wanted back in so badly, both figuratively and literally. I felt like I could explode. But in the end, I knew there was no grand scheme. It needed to happen the way we happened, just us being us, a little at a time. Now, that didn't mean I wasn't going to try to use every available advantage I could come up with. It just meant that I'd have to sprinkle those advantages around lightly over time. In the shower, I thought back to the things that made Aubrey's eyes sparkle. The first time I saw her eyes glaze over, we were in a diner, and I'd fed her from my plate. The greasy eggs and sausage were dripping with sriracha, and all I could think about was how I could ever enjoy a meal again alone after watching her eat from my hands. I was also quite certain she had an affinity for my accents. With these two small things in mind, my shower might have taken a bit longer than I anticipated, but I was ready for my breakfast date, and damn was I hungry for Aubrey. I stopped by a local deli and picked up some things, prepping for my Australian breakfast. Before I left my place, I'd swiped some of my favorites from my sister's food stash. I headed over to Starbucks early with a large brown bag, wanting to clear my bringing breakfast in with Melanie before Aubrey arrived.
You're late this morning.
Melanie pulled out a cup and began to write on it with a marker for the barista behind her. Could you make it 2 of those? I'm meeting someone for breakfast. My cocky smile was enough to tell Melanie who that someone was.
Melanie's eyes widened. She truly looked excited for me. You mean you'll be sharing coffee with her this morning instead of just picking up the tab?
I will. She clapped her hands together.
I knew it. Richard's a nice guy and all, but it's not the same. You've brought out a side of Aubrey we've never seen.
I hoped that side was the real Aubrey, and she'd still kept it hidden for me. I wondered if good old Dick knew my girl, liked to fight, and had a dirty streak in her. I was banking on the fact that he was fucking clueless. Listen, Melanie, do you mind if I bring in some breakfast this morning? I picked up some things to share with Aubrey.
Of course not. By all means, do whatever is necessary.
Thanks, Melanie. I picked the coziest seats I could find. They were in the corner, two brown distressed leather chairs with a small table between them. I pulled the chairs closer together before I set out our breakfast. Aubrey showed right at 9. I stood when she arrived at our table. There was an awkward moment at first. I wanted to lean in and kiss her, even if it was only on the cheek, but her body language was rigid, almost nervous. "Morning," I nodded. She forced a timid smile.
"Hi."
I gestured to the table behind me. "I already got us coffee and picked us up some breakfast." She sat.
"What is all this?"
"It's an Australian breakfast."
"An Australian breakfast? Here at Starbucks?"
I sort of brought it in. Melanie was good with it. Aubrey looked back over her shoulder at the register. Melanie and two others were blatantly watching us with huge smiles on their faces. She rolled her eyes when she looked back at me.
"Tell me what you're feeding me."
I smirked. She frowned.
"We need to set some ground rules."
"You're setting me up to fail, then."
"What are you talking about?"
"You know if you set up rules, I won't be able to help myself. I'll need to break them."
"Rule number one, no breaking the rules."
"That's a little extreme, isn't it? If I break rule number 4, then I've gone and broken 2 rules. You're being difficult already."
"I could leave."
"Why would you do that? I like you best when you're difficult."
"You would."
"Why don't we get something in you? I think you're extra cranky because you haven't eaten yet."
"Fine."
She looked at the food on the table and licked her lips. Fuck me, this was going to be harder than I thought. I lifted the toast to show it to her. "This is Vegemite. It's an Aussie favorite. My sister and I might have left Australia behind, but there were certain things we couldn't part with."
"It sounds sort of gross."
"If you eat it alone, it could be. But when you slather it with butter, it's fan-fucking-tastic." I offered her a bite of the toast. She attempted to take it from my hand. I pulled the offering back from her reach. "Australian tradition. You feed each other the Vegemite. It's sort of a peace offering between new friends." Okay, so that part I totally made up. But I'd skipped the hello kiss, so I needed something. She shook her head, but looked amused.
"Fine." Aubrey opened her mouth and closed her eyes.
Jesus Christ, this woman was going to be the death of me. 2 years. Now I had to look at the woman I'd been dreaming about for all that time, with her painted lips opened and eyes shut, waiting for me. And I thought prison was a test of restraint. Unlike most Americans, Aubrey liked the Vegemite. For some odd reason, I knew she would. Together, we devoured everything I brought as we danced around real conversation with small talk. I knew in order to start to win back her trust, she needed to see what Adele meant to me. I also wanted to open myself up to her. Transparency invites trust. Dr. Phil was one of the approved shows in prison. When Adele and I were kids, I used to like to play practical jokes on her. Saran wrap her body to the bed while she slept. Saran wrap the toilet bowl so she would pee on the floor. Hide under her bed until she got into it and turned the light off. Then I'd jump out and scare the crap out of her.
And I used to feel deprived for not having a sibling.
Yeah, well, she got even with me once. I offered her the last bite of the toast, and she didn't hesitate to open. Why did I love that she ordered salads with dick and let me fill her with carbohydrates and empty calories?
What did she do?
She was maybe 8 or 9, so I was probably 10 or soon to be 11. I just found both soccer and girls. There was a girl I'd taken notice of, and she seemed to have noticed me too, Izzy. She was on the sidelines of my practice one day, and I was showing off, bouncing the ball all over my knee and my head. Izzy was impressed. I had her just where I wanted her, until I turned around.
What did Adele do?
She'd painted the back of my white soccer uniform with Vegemite. You ate it between 2 pieces of toast, but it's not a pretty sight. She laughed. I'm glad you told me that after we finished eating.
Izzy lost interest, and I became Chance Dirty Pants. We both cracked up.
And to think years later, that Dirty Pants ass would become famous.
You know that poster has my face on it, too. It's only a little of my ass showing.
Trust me, it's the ass that sold it.
Are you saying you like my ass better than my face? She shook her head and didn't answer, but her cheeks pinked up a bit.
So, how did you get even with Adele?
I didn't, I shrugged. I was proud of her, actually. We talked for 2 more hours. About nothing, about everything. I could have sat there for days. When Aubrey's phone buzzed on the table, both our eyes caught the name flashing before our gazes locked. Richard. Dick.
I should go. I can't believe we've been sitting here for close to 2.5 hours. I didn't even tell my office I was going to be late.
She stood, and I joined her.
What are your plans for today?
Go walk some mutts, weed a flower bed for my lawyer. The usual. She dug into her pocketbook and pulled out a set of keys. Slipping one off her key ring, she offered it to me.
Here, in case you need to use the bathroom or anything while you're working.
It meant so much more than just a place to relieve myself. I took the key from her hand, then linked my fingers with hers.
Thank you.
I took a step closer. Fuck, she smelled good. Private collection, tuberose gardenia, I mumbled. Pavlov himself would have drooled at how the smell had conditioned me. It brought me back to the first night in our hotel rooms. The smell permeated her bathroom, and those black lacy underwear were on the counter. Shit. Taking care of myself did nothing to quench the thirst I had around her. My pants were growing snug.
You remembered the name of my perfume?
I couldn't help myself this time. I wrapped my arm around her neck and pulled her against me tightly for a hug. I remember everything about you, I whispered in her ear. She was flush when we separated, but her face grew crimson when she looked down to escape my stare and caught the sight of the obvious bulge in my jeans. It's been more than 2 years, I offered quietly as an explanation.
You haven't
been inside a woman in 2 years. Then I thought better of my phrasing. I haven't touched another woman since I met you, and I don't plan on it.
I watched her throat swallow before she spoke. Thank you for breakfast.
When will I see you again, Princess?
I have to go out of town tomorrow morning. I'll probably be getting on the road early and back late. I'll text you the day after tomorrow, maybe.
I hated that answer, but I took it. Have a safe trip. I walked some dogs, went to the gym, and decided to skip Aubrey's for today. After my time with her this morning, I didn't want to screw things up by being inside stalking when she arrived back home. And there was no doubt once I walked inside her house, I'd be doing a full investigation. So instead, I showered and headed for some quality time with my favorite bartender. The place was always empty at this time. You look particularly gorgeous today, Carla Babes. She had on a red shirt with large white polka dots that was tied just under her ample tits, revealing a shitload of smooth skin. Her pin-up girl-style hair was done up with a red scarf. She poured me a drink.
You're in a good mood today. Finally grow some balls and go after that woman.
I'm working on it.
You've been working on it for 2 weeks now.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. I sucked back a mouthful of my drink.
What are you, the Dalai Lama?
I'm starting to feel like a Buddhist monk. They don't get laid either, do they?
Let me ask you something. Why don't you go to a bar and pick up a willing woman and get the dirty deed over with? It's been a long time. Just have sex. Sweaty, body-slapping, meaningless, dirty sex. It might make you feel better.
Honestly, I'd noticed a few women lately. I'd have to be dead not to, yet my body didn't have the desire to be with anyone else. I would feel like I was cheating.
even though she's screwing someone else?
That fucking hurt. Thanks, Carla.
Sorry. She grinned. But let me know if you change your mind.
I looked down at the ring on my finger. There may have been vows spoken in front of Elvis with a buzz on, but I was committed all the same. It made me wonder if she remembered our vows, now that I was back in her life again. Chapter 23. They say that the rate of recidivism for criminals is upwards of 50%. I was becoming a damn statistic. Even though I had a key and wasn't technically a criminal, my little snooping gauntlet had me feeling like the felon that I was. It started innocently enough. I let myself in to go to the bathroom. Then Pixie was looking thirsty, so I went through half of the kitchen cabinets to find a bowl, nothing too incriminating there, some fancy wine glasses, coffee mugs with law firms etched into them, canned goods with the labels all facing the front. I smiled when I saw two bottles of the red sauce with a pompous rooster proudly displayed on the front. My girl liked the cock sauce. From there, I moved on to more conspicuous investigating. The bathroom had only one pink toothbrush. The tub was filled with only girly crap. I might have opened the canister of cream on the countertop and taken a giant whiff. It smelled like Aubrey. I was smiling like an idiot again, until I opened the mirrored bathroom closet. Tylenol, deodorant, razors, extra this and that, and birth control pills. I opened the little oval container and saw Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday had already been popped out of the silver foil this week. The urge to flush the remnants of the month down the toilet was powerful, but the ramifications from doing that were something I couldn't even allow myself to think about. I ventured down the hall farther. Inside her bedroom, I opened the sliding closet doors. One of the doors was off the track and almost came crashing down onto my head. Princess fucker fixes nothing, I see. There was no sign of men's clothes in the closet, which made me feel somewhat vindicated after the bathroom medicine cabinet find. On top of her dresser, there were a few framed photographs, one of which I presumed to be Aubrey and her dad at her law school graduation. She was looking at him as he looked at the camera proudly. I remembered he was a lawyer, too. There were a few others, one of her and a friend as teenagers, another of an older woman and Aubrey. They looked alike. It must have been her grandmother. The last picture caused a crushing sensation in my chest. It was of her and Dick, with Pixie sitting between them. Mutton, you damn traitor. As much as it hurt to look at it, I couldn't stop staring at it for a full 5 minutes. Aubrey was smiling widely. She looked happy. That should have been me. I'd seen just about all I could take, and was about to walk out of her bedroom when I stopped in front of the last dresser drawers, my eyes fixated on the top drawer, which was square, the type you keep your underwear in. Seeing as I was already an asshole today, I slid it open. Inside was filled with lace and a note. Cocky. Since you have nothing better to do, how about fixing the closet doors? I laughed for a full 5 minutes. We knew each other so well. Then, I fixed the closet doors. I hadn't heard from her since yesterday morning. I was hopeful maybe tomorrow she would text. Excited as hell when my phone flashed her name at almost 9 in the evening. Aubrey.
Thank you for fixing the doors, pervert.
Chance. Anything for you. A few minutes passed. I wasn't sure if I should apologize for my obvious snooping or not.
Aubrey. You didn't try any on, did you?
Chance. I'm more of a sniffer than a cross-dresser. Plus, I like your ass in lace, not mine.
Aubrey. Very funny.
Chance. I wasn't kidding about liking your ass in lace. My phone went quiet. Clearly I'd moved this conversation from friend territory. I figured why not push my luck a bit more. Chance,
I miss you. When can I see you again? Aubrey.
How about a dog walk? Tomorrow afternoon. My last appointment at the office should be done by 4.
Chance. I'll meet you at the shelter at 4:30.
Aubrey. Okay.
Chance. Good night, Princess.
Aubrey. Night, Chance.
The next afternoon, we met at the shelter. Aubrey arrived after me, looking as beautiful as always in her fancy suit. But when she disappeared into the bathroom and came out wearing jeans, a white T-shirt, flip-flops and a ponytail, she looked fucking phenomenal. I couldn't help but stare at her as we each leashed up 2 dogs and headed for the park.
What? You're looking at me like something is wrong.
Just looking at you. I'm not sure if it's possible, but I think you get more beautiful every time I see you. She was quiet as we entered the park. We walked for a while and then sat on a bench.
Can I ask you something?
Anything.
What was it like? In prison, I mean.
I suppose it made sense for her to wonder what I'd spent the last 2 years actually doing. Seeing as all I had done for 2 years was wonder what she was up to, she was catching up. It was degrading, overcrowded, yet solitary at the same time.
Did you have any visitors?
Adele came to see me every other Saturday.
What about your mom? Is she still taking care of your ill grandmother?
No. She passed.
Aubrey looked over at me. Her face fell. I'm sorry. That was thoughtless. Your grandmother was ill. I should have realized.
You couldn't have known. I cleared my throat. They're both gone now, actually. Mum died of an aneurysm the first year.
Oh, my God, Chance. I'm sorry.
Thank you. I opened the water bottle I was carrying and fed some to the panting pooches. Aubrey was still looking at me when the bottle was empty, so I gave her my full attention and waited to hear what she was thinking about. A tear rolled down her face before she spoke.
You've lost so much.
I wiped it away and cupped her cheek. She leaned into my touch. I could barely breathe, remembering all that I lost. Yes, I did. I closed my eyes briefly to pull myself together. When I reopened them, Aubrey was still watching me. So I continued. Sometimes it takes losing everything to make you realize what you really need. She laced my fingers with hers and squeezed. We sat on the bench like that for another hour, before the 4 dogs we were exercising decided it was time to get back. I told her about the soccer clinic I started in prison. She told me about everything she did to get the animal shelter up and running. Her farm allowed her to do a sizable amount of pro bono work, which made her happy. It sounded as if she had found the type of balance she was still figuring out she wanted 2 years ago. After we returned the dogs to the shelter, I wasn't ready to let her go. We were standing out front, and it felt like an awkward end to a first date. Could we go get a bite to eat? I asked. She bit her bottom lip.
I sort of have plans tonight.
Dick. I nodded and looked down.
But...
I glanced back up, hopeful. I wasn't beyond puppy dog eyes.
They were sort of loose plans. Maybe I could change them.
I answered honestly. I would really love that. I'm not ready to give you back tonight. She nodded and excused herself for a minute, walking away to make a phone call out of earshot. When she returned, she dropped her phone into her purse.
What are you in the mood for? I need to stop home and change for wherever we go. The dogs got me all dirty, and I don't want to put back on my suit from work.
How about we order in? She thought about it for a few seconds.
I don't think that's a good idea, Chance.
I held up 3 fingers. I'll be on my best behavior. Boy Scouts promise. She squinted at me as she considered the idea.
Fine.
My other hand was behind my back, with 2 fingers crossed. We ordered spaghetti carbonara and chicken cutlet parmigiana from the Italian restaurant a few blocks from her house. Sharing, we both dug in as soon as it arrived. She dipped a piece of bread into the sauce after we polished off both dishes. I see you've lifted your ban on carbohydrates. I seem to remember you only allowing yourself one cheat meal a month.
I decided I liked food too much, so I traded bread and pasta for a strict regimen at the gym. Richard got me into running, and I realized I could burn off a slice of cheesecake in less than 30 minutes. Totally worth the half hour.
I looked away. Hearing her talk about him and all the good he'd done for her left me conflicted. I was happy she was enjoying things more, but sad I wasn't the person who helped her learn to enjoy what life had to offer. If I was truthful, hearing his name from her lips also made me feel cross.
Sorry.
She caught my long face and offered sincerely. I'm being an ass. I'm glad that you're eating and exercising. I needed a minute, so I got up and took our plates to the sink. Aubrey cleaned up the table while I loaded and started the dishwasher. It felt so domestic, so right. I wondered if she felt like this with him, too. It was only 8 o'clock when dinner was done. I didn't want to outstay my welcome, yet I never wanted to leave. I stared down at the kitchen floor. There were some cracks in the grout, a project for another day. Do you want me to go? My head was still bowed, but my eyes looked up at her, filled with hope. She shook her head and spoke softly.
How about we watch a movie?
Pixie joined us in the living room. The minute we sat on the couch, the bugger hopped up on the adjoining love seat. He propped his head up on the armrest and stared at us.
It's sort of his seat, she offered.
We argued about what to watch before we finally settled on a series on Netflix that Aubrey babbled on about. It was a show about a motorcycle gang, with the mum from that old TV show Married with Children. We had a TV in the day room in prison, but there was no way a show about bikers was on the approved list of programs. I was a few years behind on even the meaningless things like television shows.
You know, when I first saw your motorcycle that day in the rest stop parking lot, I imagined myself riding on the back of it, my arms wrapped around that guy.
She pointed to some blonde bloke on the television, riding a Harley with bright white sneakers.
I wondered what it would feel like to ride.
Oh, yeah? She lifted her legs onto the couch and stretched them out. Her knees were bent, but her feet reached my thigh. Without thinking, I took one of her feet into my hands and started to rub. She looked pensive at first, but her shoulders quickly relaxed. Feel good?
Mm-hmm.
Guess I'll be taking a trip back down to Hermosa Beach.
Why is that?
To get my bike. I owe you a ride. She closed her eyes as I kneaded her feet.
I'd like that.
Me too, Princess, me too. You want to know what I thought the first time I saw you? She chuckled.
Probably not.
I couldn't keep my eyes off of you. You were gorgeous, but something about the way you smiled as you played with that bobblehead just did something to me.
I thought you hated me.
I wondered what it would feel like to ride too, only I wasn't thinking about the bike one bit. Our eyes caught, and I watched as her pupils actually dilated.
Fuck.
She was getting turned on. I pressed my thumbs into the arch of one of her feet, and she closed her eyes and let out a small moan. God, I love that sound. I heard the thickness in my own voice. My cock was growing to match it. As I rubbed, I felt the tightness from her muscles flee, but it was replaced by a different type of tension. A raw sexual energy filled the air around us. She was relishing my touch, slowly giving in to how it made her feel. My hands at her feet moved up to her calf. Her breathing became jagged with each need. God, I missed the feel of her skin beneath my fingers. I wanted her body under mine so badly it was almost painful to keep myself from pushing too fast. My hand slid up to the back of her knee, and I inched closer to her. Her body was so responsive to my touch.
Chance,
She moaned with her eyes shut. I leaned into her slowly. Ob.
The sound of the doorbell was the equivalent to throwing a bucket of ice water over Aubrey. Her eyes flew open and bulged from her head, and her body became rigid. It didn't take a rocket